recording from Marion County on KMUZ Turner. This is Waste Matters on the Air, the show that talks trash about waste and how to prevent it.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's the fourth Thursday. No, it's the second Thursday of the month. So you must be listening to Waste Matters on the Air at KMUZ 88.5 and 100.7 FM, the show that trashes waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Alan Pennington, Waste Reduction Coordinator with Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with Rochelle Raffin of Raffin's Restaurant fame. So as many of you remember, I head up Marion County's Earthwise program, which is a free program for businesses or nonprofits who wish to explore ways to reduce waste and conserve resources, and hopefully save some money too. So Earthwise is also offers a certification that these organizations can explore should they wish to take the steps to achieve them. These steps would include such things as recycling, waste reduction, energy and water conservation, green purchasing, and so on. And since I do the Earthwise thing and have a radio show, I like to combine this when I can with interesting people and businesses that just happen to be Earthwise certified. And Rochelle here happens to be one of them. And let's face it, not every organization, profit or nonprofit, are trying to do their best to be environmentally sustainable if they are as much as they can. But the cool thing about Earthwise businesses is that they have a third-party certification that lets you know that they are trying to do these important things and that they are mindful of their place here on planet Earth. So let's get back to my guest today, Rochelle Raffin, who is one of the dynamic duo of green restaurateurs here in Marion County, who have their restaurant right over on Court Street. What's the number there?
It's 479 Court Street.
479 Court Street. And it's kind of across from the book bin, cattywampus there. And that's just a beehive of activity down there.
Yeah, it's really grown a lot. I keep telling people, even within the last, 18 months, there has been a noticeable difference in foot traffic and excitement and energy downtown, especially there on Court Street.
Yeah, it is. It's a happening place. So, unfortunately, Nate was going to be here today too, but he couldn't come. He had to stay. Keep him in the kitchen.
He's a slave to the kitchen.
Yes, they say when you got a good mule, you got to keep him in behind the plow. So
absolutely.
So. Rochelle, tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of like some background there.
Sure. So Nate and I are born and raised Kaiser, Oregon. We actually went to the same high school, although we didn't meet until several years later. As far as Nate's background in getting interested in food, he worked at Caruso's, an Italian restaurant in Kaiser, for several years. And that's where I think he caught the bug of cooking and just learning more about the culinary arts. Then went on to do his supper club dinners and his local television show, Living Culture, that focused in on, local farms and restaurateurs and artisans. And that led to, again, the supper club dinners, where he did this kind of underground sort of practice restaurant out of his home, which paved the way to what we're doing today. My background is basically just in, retail jobs and things like that. I never saw myself as a business owner until I met Nate, but then he had such a great passion and vision for what we're doing. It just became contagious, and here I am today. So,
yeah. And you are an integral part of that organization for sure. And Nate, if you're listening right now, she promised not to tell me lies about you.
But.
So where did Rochelle Raffin get her environmental ethic?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it comes down to personality type, but I will say that from an early age, my mom was definitely very, very specific about making sure we recycled everything. And, when you're a teenager and a kid, it's like, ugh, extra effort, do I really need to do these things? But as I got older, I realized how important it was. And then I moved out on my own. And then I started to notice having those habits that my mom had instilled in me, and just getting so annoyed when I saw things that could be recycled in the trash or on the street. And it's just grown from there, especially, meeting Nate and just educating myself more on the impacts that we have, consumerism, all of those things that lead into waste. So,
yes. Yeah. So now I think Nate's probably also got a long-term environmental ethic, because I mean I think knowing that he did all these things, he must have the bug.
Yeah, you know, and his family, I think they were probably a little more frugal and less wasteful than my family happened to be as a whole. But I know that his parents definitely grew their own garden. They always were really frugal and very mindful about using everything they had and not wasting it all. So it definitely stemmed from the influences from our families for sure. But that was definitely an integral role in Nate's upbringing for sure.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. When you were a kid, did you guys have to flatten all the tin cans?
Yes. I think that was the one part that I actually enjoyed, though. I liked stomping on them. That was kind of fun.
I couldn't believe it. When I first moved to Salem in 97, I was seeing all these people that were taking the cans, and you had to cut out both the top and the bottom, and then flatten the cans. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work. I just did not want to buy anything in a can anymore.
Right, yeah. And I think the biggest part was taking the bottom off. I don't know. They make me nervous because they're so sharp. But
yeah.
But once you got it off and you could just like flatten it, there was something kind of, I don't know, fun about squishing something.
There's that Rochelle kid over there stomping cans. Yeah. So If any folks remember the Living Culture series, that was that done on CCTV?
It was. You know, he had his show on CCTV. He also had it on KWVT, which is a local station. He also aired in the Columbia Gorge and one of the Portland public broadcasting stations as well.
It's a really high quality production. I've gone back and looked at him because I had no idea until because I didn't even have a TV set back when he was doing those. Mm-hmm. And I found out about him, and I've gone back and looked, and oh my goodness, they are really cool shows.
Yeah, you know, he interviewed some really interesting people, and the thing that I loved most about that show was that it wasn't on just one thing. It was all centered around food, but he would interview all kinds of different people that have to do with the food system, whether it be a farmer or a rancher or someone who's growing mushrooms, someone who is a baker or a restaurateur. He also interviewed people who were in Marion County, the food share, but just all different types of avenues of food and being local and sustainable and all of that cool stuff. So
yeah. And I tell you what, folks, if you're ever feeling like, oh, there's nobody cares and I'm all alone in the world doing these green things, and just go back and look some of those episodes, and he's got, there was 70 plus episodes, and everyone's pretty much a different feature on somebody, and they're just local folks. So
yeah, all kinds of fun stuff. They're all on YouTube, so you can definitely search it on YouTube. And I think that he still has his blog up. So I think it's like blogspot.livingculture.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, yeah, lots of fun episodes there.
So switching gears a little bit, sustainability is something that it's certainly important to. It's the cornerstone for the Earthwise program, organizations that are, you know, busy trying to provide both the economic and social and environmental legs of making sure that we make the least amount of impact on the Earth, so that it's everything's, you know, for future generations have the same opportunities that we have. And I noticed that it's inherent in your business and just looking at your furniture, you guys have a lot of decoration and furniture that you guys made. So you want, mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So when we first started thinking about opening a business, we were still running our supper club dinners in our home. And you know, Nate always makes fun of me for being on Pinterest, but that is actually where I found some of the plans on making tables, because we were still in the process of, gosh, do we spend like $1,000 per table, because we wanted these big, nice, you know, more family style communal tables. And then I found these plans and we thought, gosh, that looks pretty easy. And, you know, my dad at the time worked at a tool business, and they would throw away just gobs of pallets all the time. They just threw them away because they were getting them all the time. So my dad started collecting several dozens of pallet boards for us, and we were able to pull them apart. Later on, we found a good hack where you can actually just saw the edges instead of having to pry them with a crowbar. So I recommend doing that. Don't try to pry them apart with a crowbar, because that takes forever and it's extremely difficult. But anyway, so a lot of our tables, we tried to use salvaged wood. For anyone who's been in the restaurant, you've seen the pallet installation with the Raffin sign, which was also made out of scrap stainless steel metal. A friend worked at a facility where he was able to get access to that and made it for us. But anyway, so we just really tried to use as much repurposed things as we could, not only because it helped us to save money, but also because we just don't like to be wasteful. And, you know, we were a different concept before, and we had some shelves on the wall, and in our transition to becoming a dinner-only restaurant, we were able to utilize those shelves and make more tables. And so many of the tables that you sit at, you'll see they're the top is made out of three pieces. And if you're sitting at one of those tables, you know you're sitting at an old shelf table. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, all of those things are important, but not even just the furniture. We made it a point to check out the Restore from Habitat for Humanity to salvage whatever we could. Lots of secondhand places. We took out the most modest loan ever to start this place because one of our business advisors, which I think this mindset kind of goes along with sustainability as well. He gave us some great influence. And one of the things that stuck with me is mindful growth. I think a lot of times when people start a business, they try to go big or go home and throw as much money as it as they can and you know, build up these big extravagant places. But sometimes I think the places that stick are the ones that start small, you know, use what they need, but not anything more, and just slowly grow from there and try to keep their efforts in a sustainability mindset. So.
Well, and I think that's really paid off for you guys, because when I go by there, I mean, you guys have gone through a lot of evolutions over the years, but it's working for you now. I go by there in the evenings and you guys are packed.
Yeah. It feels like we've finally arrived. For a long time, it felt like we were the best kept secret and almost too much of a secret, you know, kind of tucked away in the corner there. Because although downtown is a great location, our spot is, you know, very small and it's very narrow. And so sometimes it's easy to pass by. But I think, you know, I think people appreciate what we do as far as the sustainability goes, because it feels like there's a soul and a heart and a lot of care that goes into our business, but also the food is just so good. Nate is very talented.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And where did he get his, where did he study?
Or? So he worked at Caruso's in Kaiser.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So that's, and then the supper clubs were just kind of his practice restaurant. And that's where he really experimented with things and honed in on his craft. And he just is reading all kinds of culinary books. He checks out a lot of French and Italian recipe books and interesting cooking books from the library constantly.
So, yeah. So one of the things that you guys also do in your restaurant is you really pride yourselves on going local. I mean, I know you shop at the local markets, but tell us about that. Why is that so important to you, and where else do you get your stuff from?
Sure. So I want to premise with food is a very complicated thing. We do pride ourselves in local, and we are excited about local, but maybe not for the same reasons other people are. You know, I think people, when they initially see local, they think it's automatically better. And I think that's not always the case, but the point of it is local is good because you can verify the sources. So sometimes local things are great, sometimes they're not so great, but the nice thing is we can actually go to the farms, we can meet the people, we can see what they're doing, we have the communication and know what the standards are of their process, and we can make sure those standards align with our own eyes, with the process that we would like for the quality of food that we serve. And not only that, but we just love making relationships with people. We love to support each other. You know, we buy produce from someone or meat from someone, and they come in and have dinner, and they're able to see their product at fruition and created into such a nice thing. And there's something really special about that relationship and that type of camaraderie and community that we create. So that's super important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it does pay off, because it's nice having those relationships, and mm-hmm. you know, you've got a good source there when you get out and meet with them. That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that. So if you just turned in, you're listening to Waste Matters on the Air, KMUZ 88.5 and 100.7 FM. I'm Alan Pennington. I'm speaking with Rochelle Raffin, owner and operator of Raffin's Restaurant in downtown Salem. So, Rochelle, I want to change over and talk a little bit about composting. You guys started that, and we have been one of the things we've been pushing for with restaurants throughout the community is to try to get them to, first of all, the when we think of the waste hierarchy, it's reduce, reuse, recycle. And when it comes to food, of course, the best thing to do is reduce it. You don't want to waste it in the first place. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm sure you guys are like all good restaurateurs. If you're going to make it big, you can't be wasting your food.
Right.
And so one of the things that there is inevitably going to be some waste, stuff left on that you just can't, you scraped off the out of the pots or coming off people's plates that are left over. So we've always been pushing that composting program with restaurants, and it's kind of a hard sell. I have to admit it's been hard to get the education out there, to get folks to be restaurant owners and operators to take that on and see some virtue and some opportunities there, maybe to save long term, maybe save some money by composting. So tell us about how you guys got into that and how it's working for you.
Yeah, so actually it does cost a little more. That is the one sustainability thing that that doesn't help a business's bottom line. I think that's probably why it's such a hard sell sometimes, because you have to pay for an extra yard debris cart that normally, you know, people would just have their garbage and recycling. But obviously we see value in it because we think it's important. And we knew that we should have been doing it from the very beginning. And as soon as we became Earthwise certified and also the Green Award too, that I think propelled us into, hey, you know, people are looking at us for doing the right thing, and so we really need to do the right thing. And it's been great. You know, it's fairly easy. We just have two separate buckets. What's nice is it makes it a little bit smaller for our garbage bin too, so we can have smaller buckets that take up less space in the actual restaurant. But yeah, there are some challenges with it as far as maintaining the garbage in the exterior bin. We noticed, you know, because we were just throwing things in there. But when you have a restaurant and you have soups and liquids and things like that, that's not always the best thing to throw all together, because that is just a breeding ground for flies and larvae and all kinds of disgusting things like that. Uh-huh. So we learned that, 2 years ago, I don't remember it being so bad. I don't know, maybe it was the environment this year that just changed. But anyway, just keeping on hand paper bags to put things in and conceal them makes it a lot easier. But there's so many things that can go into compost too that I don't think people realize that will help reduce the waste in the landfills and the garbages. And that's, you know, paper towels and paper napkins and things like that that we're using, as well as all the scraps or things coming off the plate. So we just try not to do as much liquid. So like the coffee grounds, we make sure to pour all the liquid out first and then put the grounds mm-hmm. into the compost to reduce, you know, kind of that convergence of all the sure. all the matter there. But anyway, our staff is trained really well on it. We have a poster in the back that shows the appropriate things to throw in different bins, so if they ever have a question, they know where it goes. But it just feels good to know that we're doing the right thing and we're actually helping create the soil and matter for the community.
Well, I appreciate you you guys trying that and using it, operating it. And one of the problems we've always run into also with a lot of restaurants is that they don't own the building. And so you don't necessarily always have control over your waste stream, because a lot of times that's just, you know, the owner just offers up a big garbage can, and then, you know,
right.
if you want to do composting, you're on your own. So
right.
it can be problematic. And plus there's space issues. I mean, there's always something.
Yeah, and I know we're not the only ones that do it too, because actually, again, to bring back Living Culture, that TV show that Nate did, he actually did an episode on restaurants composting. So there's a really interesting episode there. And so I know for a fact the Convention Center and Grand Hotel, I mean, they're huge. They're very large scale and they still do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely possible for anyone to do. It's very simple and it really makes a difference.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Another thing that you guys have had some opportunities with over the years is you've upgraded your equipment. You've looked at energy efficiencies there. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you guys have done.
Sure. So when we very first started, because we weren't cooking full time, we had just a 3-compartment sink, and that. You know, it was hard to say. We weren't sure if a dishwasher or a 3-compartment sink would use more water and more resources. But as I was filling out our application, actually, for the Green Awards is when I compared the years and I noticed that, you know, when we had to fill those sinks all the time and we had to empty them and fill them again if they had too much residue in there, we were using a lot more water. So we upgraded to a dishwasher, which also, you know, helped us with efficiency now that we're a lot busier. And then, you know, just making sure to use Energy Star equipment with our refrigeration. We actually have kind of cobbled together some more like residential fridges in the back. So we probably have the award for the most refrigerators out of any restaurant in town. But it cost us less money. We have found that they tend to last a little better. And I think they're just slightly more energy efficient as well. And then at, you know, about a year and a half in or 2 years is when we upgraded all of our lighting. So I think we already had some pretty energy efficient lighting. It was the fluorescent, the tubes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The newer ones though, that were the more energy efficient, but we, you know, wanted to create a nice ambiance, but at the same time, you know, reduce our energy there as well. And so we've actually changed all of our lighting out. Besides I think one light, and all of it is LED now. So that makes a huge difference, too.
Yeah, so many folks are doing that because the, mm-hmm. the prices of LEDs, which were astronomical when they were first rolled out, mm-hmm. have really come down. And the lighting is just, it's so much nicer.
Yeah, it definitely is. I can't stand fluorescent lighting. But the trick with LED, though, too, is, I mean, I'm an attention to detail person. I care a lot about every little tiny thing. So just making sure to check the Kelvin, you know, temperature and color of the lights. And yeah, when you're in a nice fine dining restaurant, you want to have this kind of warm, cozy glow to it. So making sure that we're getting, you know, not only the most energy efficient lights, but the ones that feel the best.
Yes, absolutely. For sure. Especially your restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all that wood around. So we kind of touched on it. We're talking about composting because that's part of the waste reduction piece that is near and dear to my heart. Because that's basically what pays my salary is solid waste. Can you tell us some of the ways that you guys have reduced waste at your place?
So there's kind of this ongoing inside joke with our crew. Anytime a new hire starts, the first thing we tell them is never throw anything away. And I remember one new hire started and, you know, one of our coworkers or one of the employees came up and never throw anything away. Just so you know that Nate will get mad, you know? And then I come up to them and I'm like, hey, just so you know, never throw anything away, yeah. You know, ask us first. And they just think we're crazy, you know, because they're like, what are you going to do with these plastic containers and all that? It's so weird, you know, just recycle them. But for us, you know, the more you consume and the more that you recycle and get rid of, the more demand you're creating for more of those things to come out. So anyway, I don't think we have ever bought a single container like Tupperware or anything like that for our restaurant. So all of our food storage is in large buckets. We've been able to get either from other restaurants, you know, perhaps we had an employee that worked with us and another restaurant that would just throw away these huge buckets. Otherwise, actually, Cascade Baking has been a great ally to us, and they have given us, you know, large flour buckets or other things like that that they haven't needed at the time. And so we've been able to, you know, store all of our food in those things, as well as, you know, mason jars for all of our herbs and spices. And then we do purchase salad greens in containers sometimes. But those containers, we've saved every single one. And we use to store extra flatware or kitchen equipment or, you know, things like that that we need to have concealed in some way. But we don't really feel like we want to go out and purchase containers because that's just so much more plastic and you know, demand for those things, as I was mentioning. You know, we also moved into doing loose leaf tea instead of having bags of tea. So that way we can buy it in a little more bulk. We're not, although we can compost the little bags, we just find that it's better not to demand that those be made and created in the first place. So, you know, we use the loose leaf and we grind our own coffee in bulk. And then eventually, obviously, the leaves and the coffee go into compost as well. You know, Nate is also a magician in the kitchen when it comes to kitchen economics, and he knows how to use every single tiny little thing. You know, especially when we're roasting, you know, the local and organic meats, he'll use all the bones to make our own house-made broth from scratch, which is not only a great use of those things and not being wasted, but it's also very wholesome and nourishing at the same time. So it's nice to be rewarded for doing the right thing, too, in that sense. You know, also rendering the fat from things, using trimmings from vegetables to be able to use in vegetable stocks as well. Other little things like when we were doing pesto during the summer, you know, we use the leaves for the pesto, but then what do we do with the stems? You know, people don't use the stems. And so Nate's been doing this really fun project lately where we've been making these house-made liqueurs. So we'll do these really interesting different flavored liqueurs. And so we took the stems and steeped it and made a really beautiful basil liqueur that we used for cocktails. So, Yeah. So even just little weird things like that that you would never think. But we just try to use our critical thinking cap and say, hey, you know, what can we use this for? How can we use this? How can we not waste this or throw it away? You know, there has to be an application for it somewhere.
So I got to ask, does that liqueur taste a little bit like pesto?
No, you know, it's really beautiful. It was completely clear in color, which was really interesting because a lot of the liqueurs will take on some kind of color to it. But it had this really interesting, refreshing taste of almost spearmint, you know, because basil almost has kind of a minty nature to it, but then also a little bit of anise in it as well, because basil also, you know, kind of has that black licorice sort of note to it. But it was this just beautiful, green, refreshing liqueur. It was lovely.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, that's, I love it that you guys are experimenting, but that Nate's always has been doing that. So, so we're kind of running out of time here, Rochelle. Is there anything that we missed that you want to pass on that our audience should know about?
Yeah, I mean, well, basically just to sum up everything we were talking about and just the things that are important to us is just remembering, like, you know, when you go to the store and you're buying that container of yogurt, instead of buying more of those like disposable Tupperware containers, you know, save that yogurt container, like, you know, wash it out and use that for your leftovers, you know, because again, to reiterate, the less that we consume of things we really don't need, the less demand there is for it and the less that's being produced and the less we waste. So, just doing all those things, I really encourage people to compost as well. I just think that's a really important thing for our community and for the earth to do. And you can even do it in your own home, in your backyard, and use it for your garden and vegetables, which also is a great thing to do as well. But just use your critical thinking hat to, you know, think about how can I reuse these things? What can I apply this to? And just think about that all the time. And you'll notice you're going to not only do good things for the environment, but you might save a little money doing it as well.
Yes. And I think that's a great summary. And I just want to throw in, especially you mentioned the yogurt, and it is so easy to make more yogurt off of the little bit of yogurt that you got. So you could basically, once you buy some yogurt that's real yogurt,
right?
you could just keep it going, and you will never have to buy yogurt again.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah.
So, Wow, that was great, Rochelle. You've covered a lot of stuff, and we really appreciate you coming today. Can you remind folks of where you guys are in your website?
Yes. So Raffin's Restaurant, we are at 479 Court Street, which is on the northeast corner of Court and High Street downtown. Our website is www.raffins, which is RAFNS.com. We are on Facebook at handle Raffin's Local Foods, as well as Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you guys are everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Yes. So again, thank you so much. We'd like to thank you for your time and knowledge with sharing with us today. And you folks have been listening to KMUZ, reaching parts of Marion, Polk, and Linn counties via 88.5 FM, and then deep into Seoul, Central, Salem, and Kaiser on 100.7. So join me here in 2 weeks. Now, think about it. 2 weeks from today is what, Rochelle?
2 weeks from today. Oh,
it's
my gosh.
It's Thursday, the fourth Thursday of the month. It's a holiday.
Oh, yes, of course.
It's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. So I probably won't be in the studio, but we possibly will run this again on Thanksgiving Day. So for all the folks that are out there listening again in 2 weeks, happy Thanksgiving. And we will be, of course, at 1 o'clock p.m. We will be talking trash and ways to avoid it with that fabulous episode of Waste Matters on the Air. And, of course, KMUZ.org's websites have podcasts of all of our shows and many others as well. So you can always go back, get this one loaded real soon, and you can hear it to your heart's content. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Just search Marion County Environmental Services and you will find us. Okay? So, as an old Roman philosopher once chiseled, unless it's peace and quiet, if you don't need it, then don't buy it. Goodbye.